Hello and welcome back to Tape Talk.
My name is Ron Sampson and I am the Assistant Athletic Director in charge of Sports Medicine and Campus Health for Pacifica Christian High School. Within this role, I have the privilege of being the head athletic trainer for all of our athletic teams. Well, I hope everybody's surviving the heat wave. I understand there's only a couple days left. With that, I want to welcome you into episode number 5. And the heat wave actually ties into what we're going to be talking about today. For this episode, I'd like to take a few minutes to go over wet bulb globe temperature and why CIF has decided to mandate that all schools monitor the wet bulb globe temperature in regards to athletic activities. Now, you may be wondering what wet bulb globe temperature is and why it is important. Well, heat stress happens when the body temperature struggles to cool down. Athletes are particularly susceptible to heat stress during exercise. Now, traditional methods such as air temperature alone are insufficient for assessing heat stress risks. This is where wet bulb globe temperature comes in. All right. So the wet bulb globe temperature is a wet bulb formula that measures heat stress in direct sunlight by taking into account the following 5 criteria: temperature, wind speed, sun angle, humidity, and cloud cover. All right. So unlike the heat index, which focuses only on air temperature and humidity, the wet bulb globe temperature offers a holistic assessment of the environment, making it the preferred method for determining safe outdoor activity levels for athletes engaged in physical activities. So a wet bulb globe temperature meter or system addresses these limitations by offering an accurate assessment of environmental heat stress and its impact on the human body. So in July of this year, CIF mandated wet bulb globe temperature monitoring during all athletic activities, particularly during high-risk periods of heat exposure. Now, the new bill requires the following regulations for all CIF member schools. Okay, here we go. 1, modified practice schedules. So schools must schedule outdoor practices during cooler times, like early mornings or late evenings, with frequent breaks in shade. Schools must postpone or cancel practices and or competitions during extreme heat. And athletic trainers can gradually increase the intensity and duration of practice sessions over a 10 to 14 day period. Okay. Number 2, monitoring athlete health. Coaches, athletic trainers, and athletes must be trained to recognize the signs of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Student athletes who display signs of a heat illness must be removed from a practice or game and may not return until they have written clearance from a healthcare provider. Number 3, heat illness prevention. Schools must invest in wet bulb globe temperature monitoring tools like handheld monitors or weather stations in order to take the wet bulb globe temperature readings. Schools must have ice baths or special cooling wraps on hand to treat heat stroke and other heat illnesses. Coaches and athletes must learn the importance of taking regular water breaks during practice and games and recognizing signs of dehydration. I will also note with that proper hydration doesn't start the day of physical activity. To be properly hydrated, if you know it's going to be hot, like say this evening, like we're recording this on a Sunday evening, it's going to be hot the next 2 days, athletes should already be hydrating starting today. Okay, you can't wait day of and think you're going to be able or be safe and be properly hydrated. Okay, all right. Number 4, a 5-day acclimatization period. Outdoor fall sports must have a 5-day warm-up and acclimatization period. Practices will be shorter with limited gear for the first few days. Now that's mainly for football. We don't have football here at Pacifica, so we don't have practices with a lot of gear. But that still holds true. Like if you're like when we get started with fall sports and stuff like that, you know, the kids should be wearing, you know, cotton shirts or dry fit shirts, you know, nothing with, you know, heavy, thick clothing on to get acclimated to the warmer weather. Okay. And number 5, an emergency action plan. Each school must have an emergency action plan in place with a list of the locations of all on-site emergency equipment, assigned personnel, and post-emergency procedures. Plus, at least one automated external defibrillator, that's an AED, must be readily available. All right, so these criteria were created mainly for football and mine, like I stated previously. Heat-related illnesses are more prevalent with football teams than other sports. Even though we do not have football, the department will take the appropriate steps to ensure our athletes get properly acclimated to the summer and fall heat. I can tell you that Pacifica Christian is in compliance with all CIF mandates. I hope that this helps shed some understanding of wet bulb globe temperature and its importance. My department is always striving to stay on the cutting edge of anything and everything that has to do with sports medicine and the well-being of our student athletes. Monitoring wet bulb globe temperature is just another important step in keeping student athletes safe. Now, if you have any questions or concerns regarding wet bulb globe temperature, please reach out to me. You can always refer to our athletic website, pacificaathletics.org, for more information by just clicking on the Sports Medicine tab. Well, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode of Tape Talk. And as always, go Tritons.